When my mom talked about menopause, she called it the change, and it was all very hush-hush, as if there was something wrong about something so natural. Thank goodness with mental health awareness and actual research, we're beginning to understand the huge role hormones play in women's bodies. Being postmenopausal has its challenges, but if you're going through either perimenopause or menopause, then I suggest you try Hormone Harmony. Why? Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now here's the beauty about them. They help the body adapt to stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SELFWORK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SELFWORK for 15% off today. This is SELFWORK, and I'm Dr. Margaret Rutherford. At SELFWORK, we discuss psychological and emotional issues and what you can do about them, whether that's learning self-acceptance, taking action, or seeking therapy or treatment. 8 years ago, I extended the walls of my practice to reach those of you who might already be knowledgeable about mental health treatment, but also to those of you who might say you'd never darken the door of a therapist. And yet, you are here. I'll answer your questions while I invite you to take a few minutes for your own self-work.
And I also learned that just because you're going through depression doesn't mean that you're the type of depression my dad told me about, where they will lock you up. And there's all degrees of depression. There's like you have none, or you do need to be put away, like my father said, to protect yourself from harm. And then there's everything in between.
Welcome to this week's edition of Self-Work. Dr. Vince Haefeli is one of the nicest, most sincere people I've run across in a long time. He's president of Ajax Construction in Florida. I also think he's president of the Florida Asphalt Association currently. But those are his day jobs, and of course he may have more. His 2023 TEDx on suicide in the construction industry wasn't a speech he presented. It was the story of his own unexpressed depression and close brush with suicidal feelings and intent. He decided to reveal his struggles with his coworkers, colleagues, and now the world. And his TEDx was the fifth most viewed TEDx worldwide in 2023. Why? Because the construction business ranks second in suicides, with excavation being the only occupation outranking them. One recent year, for example, there were around 1,000 accidents on the job and actual deaths on the job in construction. There were over 5,000 deaths by suicide. Vince, as ABC called him, a man on a mission, is trying to change that by encouraging men and women just like him, tough, resilient, but emotionally silent people, to change, to risk, to seek help and therapy, to talk about the common and very human experience of emotional overload, desperation, and despair. You can ease these feelings by talking about them openly, not keeping them hidden, where they can grow ever more dangerous to you. Vince has told his story over and over to packed houses of construction workers. And as he tells it, he says, you could hear a feather drop when he's sharing how close he came to killing himself and how absolutely no one knew. He did me the honor of listening to my own TEDx on perfectly hidden depression. You could probably hear how our messages are similar, but his is so powerful because it's personal. He said, I learned some new things to take into therapy. I'd never thought of how what I went through as a kid affected me. I am so honored to bring you Dr. Vince Haefeli, who I hope I can now call a friend. All of the ways to contact him will be in your show notes. Let's hear from AG1. It's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality. And that's why, for years, I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 conducts relentless testing to set the standard for purity and potency. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword, it's a commitment. And at each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because they obsess over product quality, the standards of their manufacturing, and sustainable practices. Taking care of your health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by replacing all those multiple health supplements, like your multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, and more, in just one simple scoop. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for their quality, and I love that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support. I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high-quality product that I drink every day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try it and get a free one-year supply, of vitamin D3 plus K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/selfwork. Again, that's drinkag1.com/selfwork. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. And now, Vince Hafley. Congratulations so much on your TEDx. I mean, to be number five in all of 2023 for all the views, that's outstanding. And I know that, I mean, your message is the one that you lived. My message is quite parallel to yours, but I haven't lived it. And so what I would really love to hear more in detail, Vince, is the story that you tell on your TEDx, but also you mentioned a lot of losses, children's deaths and that kind of thing, which I don't know anything about. Are you willing to talk about that or not?
Oh, I've talked about it around the world, so yeah, I'm willing to.
Okay. So can you tell us about your depression, when it started, how it started, why it was so important to you to keep it under wraps?
For one, I really never knew I was having depression.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I thought I was just sad, lonely, hurt.
Yeah.
And that started in 1989. I never really knew that I had gone through depression until late 2023, I think it was.
Wow.
Some point in 2023, may have been mid-year. In 89 in May, I learned that my brother was 9 years older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
My mom called to let me know that he was terminal ill. That was in May.
Oh, wow.
And in July, I lost my dad. He had struggled with heart issues for a lot of years. He was in the hospital being screened for a transplant. And called my mom on a Wednesday afternoon and said, "That's it. I'm done. I don't want to go through this anymore." And 18 hours later, he was gone. I always tell people, the mind, if you don't think the mind's a powerful tool, the mind's a powerful tool, right?
Yeah.
And then in November, my wife at the time and I had twins, Jared and Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
One passed within a few hours, and the second, we made a decision as a family a few days later. We took off of life support. So that all happened from May to November.
My goodness.
And then in July of 93, on my niece's fifth birthday, that was my brother's daughter, that was the day my brother passed.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just learned that my mother had a incurable form of cancer, and I soon lost her. So
all of that was in 1989?
No, that was from 89 to like 93.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, in the span of 4 years. Yeah, right.
And then my mother, I think it was 95 when she passed. But I was a man, mm-hmm. and I was a man working in construction,
mm-hmm.
and men, when I was raised, I mean, I had the most loving father in the world. He was probably the closest thing I ever had to a hero.
Yeah.
But he was a coal miner. He was he did body work on cars. He rebuilt engines. He was a man's man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it was understood that men don't share their emotions and feelings a whole lot. If you're struggling, you keep that in and figure out how to work through it. So don't talk about it. Because if you do, they'll lock you up in the mental institution. And then also then being part of the construction industry at that time, you know, you used to hear, hey, we've got enough problems around here without you bringing your own problems into work. Leave that crap at home. We don't need to hear that around here.
Wow. Okay.
So I tell people that what happened to me over the span of a few years there, there's been a lot of people that had things a whole lot more tragic happen to them in their lives. I acknowledge that. I'm not trying to say by any means what happened to me was, you know, beyond making it through, because it wasn't. But the weakness I had was I didn't really ever talk to anyone. I didn't let anyone help me. I didn't even talk to my wife about it.
Okay.
I felt like she had carried the twins. She had brought them into the world. She had given them life. And so I knew how painful that was on her. So I wasn't going to unload any of my crap, right, on her.
Okay.
So I really didn't think that I was going through any type of depression or anything. I just thought that I thought I was lonely and sad and hurt. And it wasn't until I started my doctoral program at the University of South Florida in January of 21, one of the professors there, Dr. Wolgamuth Jennings, she encouraged me that, hey, while you're doing this research on the topic of suicide and construction, I know of your past. You've been honest and told me about that. And I also know people that have done similar types of research. And she said, it's going to get dark and weigh on you. You're going to need someone to talk to. So I'm going to ask. She didn't tell me. She said, but I asked that you go and find a therapist, someone to talk to while you're doing the research. So I did.
Okay.
And
was there any pushback? Did you think, therapy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did. I found one. I went to twice, and then I didn't go again.
Okay.
It was during COVID. It was online. It wasn't personal. It just felt uncomfortable. Yeah. It didn't feel good. Mm-hmm. And I soon learned when I went to see another therapist that it's just I didn't have a relationship with the first one. We didn't connect.
Yeah. I mean, so you can connect virtually, but it's a little harder, but you can do it.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't even think in person we probably would have connected.
Yeah.
But then I went to a second one. And I tell men, and when I go give my talks, I said, if you've never been to see a therapist, it kind of goes like this.
I can't wait to hear this.
I said, the first time you go, it's kind of like going on a date, right? You go in and she asks, well, what do you like to do? What are your hobbies? Tell me a little bit about your family. So you're just kind of getting to know one another. So it's like a first date. Mm. And then I went back the second time, and we started to talk, and she said, okay, you suffer from anxiety, depression, ADD, and you're very controlling. And I just looked at her and said, what in the world do you want me to do with all of that? Because I have never been any of those things. I don't know what you picked up on in our first meeting, but that's not me.
Right.
And so we finished out the hour, and I went home, and then when it was time to go back next week, I did what any male would have done.
You canceled.
I canceled.
When
it was time to go back 2 weeks later, I canceled again. Mm-hmm. And on the third week, I went back and I told her, I said, you know, I did a little research on the time we were apart. And I said, I will give it to you. One, hey, I am controlling. I didn't get to where I'm at in my career without being somewhat controlling. So I'll give you that one. Mm-hmm. I said, but depression, I always thought I'd never had depression. But I said, I did some research and I've kind of found out that the simple definition of depression is that for more than 14 days, something in your activities and life has changed. So,
right.
So on day 15, maybe you've eaten more for 2 weeks or you've eaten less. I'm a comfort eater.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm upset or struggling, I eat.
Mm-hmm.
When my father passed, I went through a period where I put on a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a picture I carry in my truck with me to this day as a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
And in that picture, I looked like Eddie Murphy and the Nutty Professor.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, I was about 35 pounds heavier than what I am today. I'm double, triple chin.
Oh, my goodness.
So the more I thought about it, when my father passed, I cried. I'm a crier. I'm an emotional person, but I don't cry every day.
Mm-hmm.
And when he passed for a period, I cried every day. It got less over time, but I cried. So I guess, hey, that's kind of an indication.
You cried, but you didn't talk. You cried, but you didn't talk to anybody.
Yeah, I cried in private. I cried in the dark of the night, and I cried in my car when I was driving alone. I didn't cry with my wife or anyone else because I was tough. I had a son at the time that was when my father passed. It was only a little over a year, and they were very close. So I mean, it was tough.
Mm, I can see.
So I had the weight gain from eating. So yeah, I acknowledged to her that, hey, I have suffered from depression. I said, I still don't get the anxiety or the ADD one, but eventually I did.
Mm-hmm.
The more we got together and the more I thought about things. And I told her, I said, you know, when you told me those things, they hurt. They cut like a knife. Nobody had ever told me that before. And I said, that's why I didn't come back the first week or the second week. But while they hurt, by her putting them out there and by me learning on my own through some research, I did it different than probably what a lot of people do. Probably a lot of people would have went back the second week and said, hey, tell me a little more about this and help me understand. But I wanted to figure it out, and I did somewhat on my own, not completely. She helped me after that point a little more. And I also learned that just because you're going through depression
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that you're the type of depression my dad told me about where they will lock you up and put you in a mental institution. There's all degrees of depression. There's like none or you do need to be put away, like my father said, to protect yourself from harm. And then there's everything in between.
So let's take a break and we'll be back. In just a moment. Ever feel like you're too busy to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more meal planning or shopping. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week, and you can order things like Mediterranean diet, vegetarian, carb conscious, even gluten-free. I love to cook, but some nights having those decisions made for you and so nutritiously with organic fresh produce is fabulous. You can also have pre-made meal options as well that are just as tasty and are ready in 5 minutes or less. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. Remember, mental health is directly tied to what you eat or don't eat, and Sunbasket's offer is phenomenal. Go to sunbasket.com/selfwork today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/selfwork to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
Well, let me ask you a quick question, because what I'm thinking about is that you must have been... When you wanted to do your dissertation on suicide in construction, so something was getting your attention about, wait a minute, this is a problem. Why is this a problem? And I'm going to go find out about it. I mean, it must have been, I don't know, it did something in you kind of go, maybe it's me or no?
Oh, I didn't want to do my dissertation on suicide in construction. When I enrolled in the program, I originally wanted to research frontline leadership of lower level leaders in our industry.
Okay.
And how they are weak. They're not strong. We've not trained them well. I wanted to learn what other industries had done and try to build a model to apply that to our industry.
Okay.
And after one term in the program, when I had a summer paper I was working on with a professor, I told him what I wanted to research, and he just looked at me and kind of laughed and said, "That's pretty weak." So he said, "They did that same study in the medical industry." He said, "Go research why great physicians make terrible administrators." He said, "The research you kind of done for what you're doing, so go find something different." And about 2 months prior to that, I had written a paper for a conference over in India, and it was about a family business and leadership and the dynamics of the family business. But the hook line to get people to want to read the paper, I opened talking about construction, and I talked about the suicide rate in construction. And so when he told me about this, I went, he told me it was weak. I went home and thought, and I went back and said, "Hey, how about suicide in construction?" And from 2007, when I was going to take my life that night, until that day, the only people that knew about that night was myself, my son, and what became my ex-wife. I had never talked to anyone, period, about it. And so that day, when he asked me why, he's the fourth person that ever knew. I thought fourth. He was actually the fifth. I soon learned my daughter had known for years and we never talked about it. But Dr. Null became the fifth person to hear. And he said, "Wow, that would be powerful." He said, "If you could do something on that, and whatever that is, wherever you go with research," he said, "it would leave an impact on your industry if you could do something." So I said, "Okay, let's do that." And then about 2 weeks later, at a weekly meeting here at Ajax with all my department heads, we have a meeting every Friday. At that Friday meeting, I told them that on January 3rd of 2023, at our safety day, we're going to begin discussing mental health and suicide. And I explained to them why. I told them the numbers in our industry. And for whatever reason, that day, I told those 16 people about that night in 07. I hadn't planned to. I hadn't even thought about doing it. I hadn't thought about not doing it. It just suddenly felt right.
Well,
and I tell people that in the day when all the healing began for me.
Yeah, wow. So a couple of things. One, you know, if you've listened to your TED talk, we know about that night, but people who are listening to self-work won't necessarily have listened to your TED talk. So can you talk about that? And then I'm also struck by the fact that your ex-wife knew about it, but did she try to get you to go into treatment, or did she also, she was kind of in denial about it or minimized it or something?
Well, first, I'll tell you how I got to that night, and then you may have to remind me about the second question.
Okay, I'll try to remember.
I got to that night from 1989 to 93 to 97 to 07, just all of that building on me. We had moved from the town that my wife and I, she grew up in Ormond Beach, Florida. That's where we lived.
Okay.
We got married. We had been there for 17 years. We moved to a new town in 02. No friends, no support system.
Gotcha.
Isolated. The marriage began to struggle in large part because of me. I'm not blaming it on anyone. I take full responsibility. I became a very selfish, self-centered individual. As much as I cared about employees and taking care of people, I became very selfish at home. Was caring for me. I was self-preservation, maybe it was. And I came home.
By the way, depression is inherently self-centered because you've got so much energy imploding, and then you've got to, you know, push it out, and it takes a lot of. So I've always said it's hard to sort of for people, but depression is just that's, you know, you're thinking about yourself a lot. And I guess when you went to work, you could become more interested in other people or what was going on. But then when you went home, then that would make some sense. Mm-hmm.
So we made it to 2007, and I came home from work one night, and we sat at the table like we do every night with the wife and kids, and talked about the day, talked about the future, and the kids got up and went to the room, and I got up and put my dishes in the dishwasher, and when I did, she was rearranging them. Mm-hmm. And that sound of the dishes clanking, mm-hmm. In all honesty, still bothers me to this day.
Wow.
Stacy and I, my second wife, have been married now over 15 years, and when I hear her moving dishes in the dishwasher, mm-hmm. I daily remind myself it's okay.
Wow, it's a trigger for anxiety. Mm-hmm.
So when I heard the dishes that night, I had decided that I had had enough, and I walked and got the keys and drove away, and I was driving about a quarter mile from where I'm sitting right now behind our facility here. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was going to end my life that night. And my wife called. This will answer part of your second question now. And she knew something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. One, we'd been going through marriage counseling, and a couple weeks prior, I was very calm and had a very good detailed plan of why it was right to me, explained to the marriage counselor with my wife in the room that I planned to kill myself and why. And the marriage counselor looked at my wife and said, we may have to Baker Act him. And Baker Act in Florida, for those that don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
Baker Acting in Florida, if a doctor or a law enforcement or someone thinks that you're in harm of hurting yourself, they can put you in a hospital for 72 hours.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's
give you a chance to clear and get your mind back focused. And when she said that, I stood up and ran out of the office and left my truck and ran down the street and called my wife and said, I will never come back into that place again, and you'll never find me if she's going to do that. And she convinced the counselor that, hey, I can take care of him. He will be okay. And we left and went home. And I was okay for a couple of weeks. And then that night it snapped. But no, there was never any conversation about, hey, you ought to go see a counselor or go see a therapist. And and again, no way blaming any of that on her. She was having to deal with me and deal with our marriage. So, I mean, she had a lot of weight on her shoulders as well. So I don't blame where I got to. I take full responsibility for.
But your marriage didn't last. It didn't make it.
No, we were divorced the following year. I don't know, 6 months, 8 months.
Okay.
Kind of all run together. But yeah, it soon ended.
Yeah. Vince, did you grieve? I mean, you said you grieved your dad's death. Did you grieve your son's deaths? Did you grieve? I mean, did you let yourself feel, or was it mostly about your dad because he was such on a pedestal for you? And it sounds like he died early.
My dad was 59, my brother was 40, and my mom was 65.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, they were all young.
Mm-hmm.
Did I grieve? No, not really.
Okay.
To this day, I still struggle with death. If someone tells me that, hey, my brother died or a neighbor died, I have to make an effort.
You kind of want to withdraw from that. It's like, oof, don't want to go there.
Yeah, I mean, I used to tell people, I don't know what to tell you. People are born and people die, and there's something in between. Mm-hmm. And hey, when someone dies, you just need to get over it and move on.
Oh, wow.
And I know that's cold and that's heartless.
It's not cold and heartless. I would call it, if I was going to pathologize it, which I don't necessarily want to do, I'd call it avoidant.
What I did during those years was I became immersed in my career, mm-hmm. my career development. Mm-hmm. And went from, I mean, I started in this industry in 85, pushing a wheelbarrow, testing concrete, making $4.50 an hour, $45 a week,
wow.
Worked 2 hours a day, to when my father passed, I had become a full-time engineering technician, and then I just immersed and became a project manager, and then a general manager, and a vice president, and president. My career was, well, like I said, when I went to work, I was at peace.
Sure, of course.
When I went home, I struggled. So, yeah, I wasn't real great at grieving.
Well, you were kind enough to watch my TEDx on perfectly hidden depression, and that's what happens when you learn to avoid through overachievement and even perfectionism. You know, when that gets started early, or you're taught to do that, as your dad said, you know, be a man's man, then that becomes your go-to way of dealing with pain, is just to push it away completely.
Your TEDx talk really helped me wrap my head around a lot of things in my life where I had been. And suddenly after watching your talk, a lot of things made more sense to me.
Oh, you're so welcome. By the way, I loved your story about how the guy reached, you know, y'all were going to talk about mental health, and the guy said something into your ear about how, oh, mentally ill people are crazy and they've got something wrong with their brains. And that's when you decided to tell your story. It was really a fantastic moment in your TEDx, and obviously a momentous kind of moment in your life. How has it changed you? Because you go and speak before thousands of construction workers, and you know, I know that you've been very touched by so many of them come up and tell you how much it means to them, or they've struggled, or they've had someone die by suicide who they love. But how has it changed you to become so open about something that was so closed off?
You know, it's funny. A gentleman that used to work here last year, he said, you're the guy that people in the office really didn't know how many kids you had or anything about you, because you never talked about your personal life. And he said, I watch you now on LinkedIn and on TEDx talks. And he said, you've opened yourself up to the world and told people more things than I've ever known. And I consider you to be my best friend.
Wow. That's fantastic.
If you go back to like when I told you on July 16th, 2021, when I told those 16 people at work, mm-hmm. you remember I said that's when I felt like the healing began?
Yes, I do remember you said that.
These talks have been very therapeutic for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing stories from other people and seeing the impact that I've had on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year over a 56-week stretch, which is more than a year, I went to 51 companies and gave talks. And of those 51 companies, three, maybe four of them bought me an airline ticket and got me hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not done.
On your dime. Problems. It's on your dime. Mm-hmm.
It's on Ajax Paving's dime. I work for a very grateful owner that has bought me a lot of airline tickets and bought me a lot of food and hotel rooms, and has encouraged me to keep doing this for as long as I want to keep doing it. The stories that I hear from people are so powerful that after you hear them, you think, there's been times when I've been giving these talks and I come home and tell my wife, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just mentally exhausting. Mm-hmm. It's draining being on the East Coast on Monday and the West Coast on Tuesday and the Central Plains on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't know if I can do it. But then you give that talk and the guy wants to talk to you afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a week later, he emails you and he says, I went to my son's grave after we talked. And he says, this is the first time in 10 years I've been at peace. So thank you for taking the 30 minutes to spend with me and talk. You're the first person that ever listened to me. So that's why I keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the reward. When I started this, I knew it's got a shelf life on how long I will do it, because I'm just about raising awareness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go give any 1 hour breakout sessions on training and things. And in my talks at the end, I give people tools and resources they can use, people that they can have come in and do that. John Deere has had me come and speak to their company.
A bit.
Aztec Industries, Dynapack. I've been really, I'm blessed that I'm on some national boards, so I have a good outreach of people. And I've given the talk now about 80 times, and there have been two places that I've asked to give the talk, and the other 78 have just been by word of mouth. Okay. You have to have him come and talk. And some of the talks have been to groups of 12, and some of the talks have been to groups of 2,000. I work in a heavily male-dominated industry, right? Really? We're trying to get more women into it, but today it's heavily male. And no disrespect to women. I don't mean any disrespect by this. Men are more relatable, I think, to me, because I've been in the industry now 39 years.
Yeah.
I'm a male.
Yeah.
I've lived through the Depression and the suicide attempt. I've researched it. So I think I'm very relatable to them.
Sure you are.
I lead a simple life. When I go and give my talks, I typically have my work boots on and a pair of blue jeans. And I'm kind of what you see is what you get. So this is probably the most rewarding and powerful thing I've done in my life. I mean, if you take the having kids and things out of there, but I mean, just as far as a career and things I've done. And I've done some pretty, what I think are amazing things in my career. This has been the most rewarding.
Let me ask you something, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
What would your dad say to you now?
He'd be proud of me, I think. Mm-hmm. He would, I know he wouldn't be. Like I said, the first thing I said about my dad, he was a very loving and caring man.
Right.
He would do anything for anyone, primarily in his family. I mean, he would defend me to the end of the world.
Mm-hmm. I bet he would be proud of you, even though he didn't live that life himself. The fact that you're guiding people to do that and to be more open and to be who they really are internally and let that show.
And he came up in a different day and time as well, right?
Yes, he did.
He worked in coal mining and he worked on drilling exploration, and we didn't know it at the time then, and it may not have been true then, but it is now. That industry that he worked in has the highest suicide rate.
It does.
Mm-hmm. In America, so.
Mm-hmm. It does. So how can people get in touch with you to have one of these other talks? I mean, you're obviously very, very effective, and it's quite a gift to give the people in your business to have you come speak. So how do people get in touch with you?
If they Google Ajax Paving on the Wall, that'll come up and you'll find me in there. I'm not a huge social media fan, but I do a lot on LinkedIn, so they can find me on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Or I have a personal website, just www.vincehafley.com.
Okay. So
vincehafley.com, that's easy. And there's a place on there you can request for me to get in touch with you, and I look at it every day and will respond.
Thank you so much, Vince. I could listen to Vince talk just over and over again to tell his story. It is so incredibly powerful. I know you must have enjoyed it as well. Don't forget, you can join my Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/selfwork so you can talk about your own feelings in a supportive environment, and I bop in from time to time, actually pretty often. My book, Perfectly Hidden Depression, is available in ebook, audiobook, or of course, paperback. As always, thank you for being here. Y'all all are very special to me. Please take care of yourself, your loved ones, and your family, and of course, your community. I'm Dr. Margaret, and this has been Self Work.